Okay, so I'm Russell Boyce, and I currently chair the National Committee for Space and Radio Science, which is one of the 22, I think, committees of the Australian Academy of Science for the purpose of fostering science research in Australia and providing advice both to the Academy and on through to government. Quick snapshot of what I'd like to talk about today with you, insight into who's in the committee at the moment. A brief look at some of the aspects of advice and input that we've provided both to the Academy and to government in the last 12 months, namely the Academy's current relationship to various international scientific unions, our submission to the review of the Space Activities Act, also our very recent input to the National Research Infrastructure Roadmap, which is currently being led by the Chief Scientist of Australia, Alan Finkel. There's some outreach and STEM opportunities that the Academy promotes, and I'd like to point them out to you because there's opportunities to be involved there. Update on the Decadal Plan Midterm Review. A bit of an update on what happened with the Australian Research Council Centre of Excellence proposal that was submitted last year. And finally, where we're up to on the COSPAR 2020 bid. So that's the committee at the moment. I'm chairing it, and John O'Sullivan from CSIRO, the gentleman who invented the Wi-Fi protocol, is the deputy chair, and there's a variety of other members of the committee there representing various parts of the space research community and also various parts of the different sectors, government, industry and research. There's also some observers. We have seen in the last 12 months a small change with David Noideg from the Bureau of Meteorology, who's here with us today, coming off the committee and was replaced by Murray Parkinson, who's also with us today. But there will be some changes in the coming months as well. Some of those members are reaching the end of their terms, or in some cases end of multiple terms. So we'll see some movement in the committee. And I'd like to flag that myself as chair of the committee, I've held that role for a while. It's time for other options for the committee and the community. So this will be my last presentation as chair of the committee. So some insight into what we've been doing. The Academy of Science is currently reviewing its subscriptions to international scientific unions. So the Academy of Science is one of the International Council of Scientific Unions, of which there are many, many, many. And it pays on our behalf the subscriptions to those unions that are relevant to space and radio science. So, for example, this is intended as information as a heads-up for the community. Some of you may not be aware of this. The Committee for Space Research, COSPAR, is the key space-related international scientific union. IRSI is the International Union for Radio Science. And then there's SCOSTEP for Solar Terrestrial Physics, and IUGG, the International Union for Geodesy and Geophysics. However, IUGG is not officially sponsored by National Committee for Space and Radio Science. It's National Committee for Earth Science. However, there are aspects of that that are very relevant to NCSRS. There's also the the Inter-Union Committee on the Allocation of Frequencies, which is a very important area of activity for the radio science community, and also in many of the activities of the space science community. I'd also like to point out, and these are not listed as international scientific union unions, but they're key international unions with which the space and radio science community in Australia is involved with. There's the International Astronautical Federation, the American Institute for Aeronautics and Astronautics, the Asia-Oceania Geosciences Society, the American Geophysical Union, and the International Telecommunication Union. Some quick insight into some of the things that we put into a submission through the Academy to the review of the Space Activities Act. First of all, we pointed out very strongly what it is that space technologies provide to Australia, from understanding of processes on the ground through to encouraging young people to pursue STEM and everything in between. We pointed out some of the impediments that apply to the space science community, the space research community, in being involved in space activities. And these are space activities that relate to actually developing technologies and deploying them to space. We pointed out that the science and research aspect of innovation is a critical component, but there are huge imperatives to particularly the public good aspects of the space and radio science community. Public good access is very important. It's not just commercial access to space technologies. There are impediments such as the insurance and liability aspects within the Act. They are major deterrents for public good access. And one of the ways that the government can assist this is to waive the insurance and liability aspects for public good institutions. We also proposed that, or pointed out in response to one of the questions in the review of the Act, that if the government takes a greater share of the financial risk, that will enable the public good part of the community, the research and university sector, to be more engaged in actually conducting space research in space. There are also some comments from the committee on regulatory issues, in particular that with the transformation of space towards miniaturised satellites and the increasing ease with which it's possible to build a satellite, get access to a launch capability and put the thing into orbit, regulation is actually important. It's not good to completely deregulate space. And the reason for that is that Australia would not want to unwittingly be part of increasing congestion and turning the space environment into a Wild West situation. There is actually opportunity for Australia to provide significant research in this area instead. We also put input into the National Research Infrastructure Roadmap. One of the very first recommendation was that the number of capability areas that are considered by the National Research Infrastructure Roadmap should be increased to include space research, since space research is such a broad enabler of so many things, including economic, environmental, societal and strategic, including national security outcomes. We proposed some, in response to a question about emerging infrastructure and projects and international collaborations which are on the horizon, an Australian hyperspectral remote sensing capability, space-based, would be something that's within Australia's grasp and would provide enormous benefit for the country in many ways. There's a statement in the issues paper for the Research Infrastructure Roadmap that the entrance cost to make Australia a space-ready nation is significant, and we pointed out and argued that that is actually not the case. We considered the fact that across the country our traditional heritage in high-frequency radar systems and the ionospheric physics that comes with that in the non-defence sector, there is currently some risk associated with that. Some of those radar systems are in need of ongoing investment, and that investment is currently not available. And some of the research groups are not as strong as they could be, and this is a critical area of investment need from the government. And finally, we pointed out that there are some combinations of innovative game-changing technologies as well as space capability as well as astronomy capability in the country that can be combined to enable Australia to be world leaders in some ways. And quantum communications, ultra-secure, unhackable quantum communications is one of those, space-based, and Australia can provide a world-leading contribution by developing quantum ground stations for that. I mentioned at the start of this presentation that there are outreach and STEM opportunities, and the three I'd like to point out. One of them is an online magazine called Nova, and all and any of you are welcome to contact Nova and put publications to write articles. There's an example there on the Rosetta mission that appears on the Nova website. Each article is vetted or reviewed by at least two, if not three, experts in the field. There's also an international competition called Falling Walls. In a month from now, the international competition will be held in Berlin on the anniversary of the Falling Wall, the Berlin Wall. Leading up to that, there are competitions in many countries, and Australia had one of those recently. It's essentially a three-minute thesis-type competition where young scientists and engineers from Australia and New Zealand can present their ideas. The winner gets to make the trip to Berlin and present their ideas in front of a large panel of both scientists, engineers and also potential investors. So this is something that the Academy supports. And finally, at the Shine Dome in Canberra, the Academy of Science, there is an organisation called Science by Doing. And that's developing new material, new apps, new graphics, animations, whatever, to mirror and enhance the national curriculum for high school. And there's opportunity for us to get involved in contributing to that, to use the fact that space is so attractive to young people, to encourage them to study STEM. The Decadal Plan Midterm Review. The Australian Decadal Plan for Australian Space, the Decadal Plan for Australian Space Science, 2010 to 2019. We're well into that decade at the moment, and the Academy requires that we conduct a midterm review, which is a very good idea. That review process has been underway for a while now. The time frame there, we surveyed the community and got quite a few responses back. There was a town hall meeting at this conference last year and a lot of good insight and input into that. We hoped by earlier this year to have developed the first draft of what would be the midterm review. It would be a very, very compact document to recalibrate the current opportunities and goals of the space science community in Australia. We're late on that. I'll take the responsibility for that, but we're still aiming to get that out as soon as possible, and realistically that would be in quarter one of next year. The Australian Centre of Excellence for Near Earth Space Physics, that was a proposal that was put into the Centre of Excellence round last year. It was not successful despite extremely good reviews. I mentioned this in anticipation in the last Space Research Conference. I want to put it up again now, not so that you can focus on any one particular detail, other than to note the fact that a coming together of the Australian and international space research community, in particular space physics, focusing on issues of space environment, modelling of the space environment, space situational awareness, space technologies, all of this was brought together in this proposal, and many, many organisations were so enthusiastic about the whole thing that they were willing to join and put into that program, and you can see all 27 of them listed on the right-hand side. That by itself indicates that this community is growing in strength and growing in some ways in a unifying theme which relates to the space environment and the space congestion that we face. And it also maps directly onto the COSPAR roadmap, international roadmap for space weather for the next 10 years. And there's opportunities that this community has right now to take elements of that Cooperative Research Centre proposal and build on them in the years to come. So I want to finish now with some insight into the bid for COSPAR 2020. So COSPAR is the Committee for Space Research. Every 2 years, the Scientific Assembly of COSPAR meets. It's the biggest space research conference in the world, at least 3,000 delegates usually, except when there are some issues. This year it was supposed to be held in Istanbul. There was a coup attempt precisely 1 week before COSPAR 2016, and as a result, that conference was completely cancelled. But normally it's a very, very big event. Australia is bidding for 2020 in Sydney, and there's a massive effort that's gone into this. It'll be held at the new International Convention Centre in Sydney if we get it. The bid process is taking place right as we speak. There should have been presentations made to support the documentation submitted earlier in this year, presentations made at COSPAR 2016 in Istanbul. That's now become an electronic submission, 20-minute video. The COSPAR Council members, which include Eva Cairns as Australian National Delegate, get to view those presentations this week and the next. There'll be time for online questions from the 67 Council members and then a secret online ballot. So we should know within the next few weeks whether Sydney gets that conference in 2020. I think our chances are very good. We're competing against Shanghai in China, Lausanne in Switzerland, and Prague in the Czech Republic. And the feedback that we've been getting is that our bid is superb. In fact, it seems to be the best one that they've ever received. Hopefully we'll win that conference. We intend to hold it during National Science Week in August in 2020 at the new International Convention Centre in Sydney, which opens very soon. There's been a lot of support for this bid, which has been very, very encouraging. There's been support from across the country, from across the university sector, from across government, all the way up to when Christopher Pyne was Minister for Industry, Innovation and Science. He coordinated a whole of government support for this bid. There's been state and territory government, the peak bodies, Australian industry have been involved, and there's been a lot of support from the international space sector as well. COSPAR is based in CNES headquarters in Paris, by the way. So with that, I'll conclude my talk. Thank you.